This is Infants on Thrones, the philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the Quorum.
Welcome back to another episode of Infants on Thrones. My name is Tom Perry, and this will be Grudges Part 2. And in this episode, it will be pretty much myself, and I'll be speaking with my wife, who went through her own battle of holding a grudge against her older sister, and all of the circumstances and tragic events that happened around that. Around 4 years ago, maybe closer to five, my wife tragically lost her older sister in a terrible car accident. At the time of her passing, my wife and her sister were not speaking to each other. My wife was, in fact, holding a grudge against her sister, and her sister, in turn, was refusing to respond to any forms of communication that my wife was attempting. So, about a week after the passing, my wife and I sat down and we discussed some of her raw feelings about the grudge that she was holding towards her sister, and of course reminiscing about the love and the sadness of losing her older sister as well.
So there was major walls put up and a distance between her and you and her and some of her siblings and even with her parents to a degree, right?
Yeah, even my parents to a degree had some valid of distrust with her, but she was mean at some point. She used her kids as pawns, and my parents wanted to see their grandkids, so they ignored the situation just because the grandkids were involved and they wanted to see them. And ignoring something doesn't mean it goes away. It's still there. It doesn't go away. And a simple just, "I'm sorry, I didn't think you would understand. I should have realized leaving you out of our marriage or telling you after it happened a day later would have been hurtful. I wasn't thinking." None of that. None of that from her. Just that we were just being mean.
So 4 years of this, where your sister is slowly pushing herself and her family further and further away from you and your siblings, and to a smaller degree, her parents, your parents. So lead us up to what happened last week.
Last week, she was killed in an automobile accident. And everybody that loved her dearly, no matter what, thinks we still loved her. We show up to mourn her loss, to celebrate her life. And I had to deliver a tribute to her of how much I loved and care about her. And I do deeply love and care about her.
So during the funeral arrangements, your father asked you to give the tribute at the funeral.
Yeah, I had to.
What went through your mind at that point?
Well, my parents asked me. I asked them, "Well, I don't know what she's done for the last 4 years, so how can I deliver a tribute to her if I don't know what she's done or what she's been up to? You know, I can share of things prior to this event, but I don't know what she's been up to the last while because she's refused to talk to me." And my parents responded as, "Just focus on the happy memories." Well, I'm not an idiot. Yeah, that's what I wanted to focus on, but I just wanted to know if there was other things I needed to know about. And so I started watching news feeds of her through her social media site of what people had to say about her. It was all the good things I remembered about her. They shared the same stuff. She was a kind person. She looked out for others. She liked to help people. And nothing new I didn't know. I guess what hurt the most is I never got an apology. I never got an "I'm sorry." I never had the chance to forgive her.
Did you ever get a chance to ask for an apology?
I had asked her for an apology.
What was the response?
No response.
Just ignored?
Just ignored. And then you show up at a family function where his family's there, knowing that they know all this bad blood between us, knowing that we hadn't resolved issues. And then I speak at her funeral, and it was just weird. Weird for me, because I wanted to hear her voice. I wanted her to say, hey, I get it. I finally get why you're upset at me. I get it. And so I could forgive her, and so I could move on, for her to admit fault. But like I said earlier, nobody likes to admit when they're wrong. And she took that to her grave. She wasn't going to admit that she was wrong, because she felt that she wasn't. She felt that her actions were fine. They're justified to ignore her family that loves her.
Walk me through what was going through your heart, through your mind, when you got the phone call that your sister had died.
When I got the phone call, I thought it was a joke. and it wasn't a funny joke, but it was a I thought they were joking, and no, it was true. She was killed in a car accident, and she was gone, and my older sister is no longer here. I don't know what to do. It just didn't seem real. But like any siblings, you argue, you fight, you make up and move on. And I still love her. I mean, I love her completely. And I still have this anger and frustration. I'm carrying this grudge because she didn't think she needed us.
Did you feel justified in holding a grudge against her at the time?
Yeah, I still feel justified in it. The only simple reason is because she refused to talk. She refused to give me a chance to forgive. And she refused to say I'm sorry.
What if she couldn't?
Nobody's not capable of saying I'm sorry. People can say sorry. People can write I'm sorry.
Would you have been able to forgive if she had vocalized or expressed an apology to you?
Yeah, I could have. I would have easily.
So let's go back to the funeral for a second. You're asked to give the tribute. What was going through your heart and your mind while you were writing it, and especially while you were delivering it?
When I had to write it, I had a hard time figuring out what to say. I thought, well, I'll just focus on a couple memories we have that I have of her that I thought were funny. That people would like to hear about, and shows how wonderful of a person she is. And it took me two or three tries of writing it to finally get what I wanted to say. And at the end of it, I wrote a poem to her, because I wasn't ready to let her go. And not because I wanted an apology from her, just because she was my sister and I loved her. I love her, and she's gone. And when I got up to give the tribute, I was overwhelmed because it became a reality that the love I have for her is greater than the grudge I was holding. And the loss of her was hurt more than not having her here to hopefully someday resolve the problem so we could be close again. And I also came to the reality that the only way for that grudge to go away was that I was going to have to go and confront her to talk to her about it to make it work, because she was just ignoring the problem. She figured it was not needed. Enough time goes by, everybody will feel better. And so having to talk about her, it brought back all the fun memories and the love that I had for her. It's hard to carry a grudge on someone you love a lot. and they've passed away so tragically. And to miss so much time with them because you wanted an apology to be acknowledged that your feelings were hurt. I'm not sure what happens now. I'm to find a way to deal with the feelings I had that are mixed with the feelings of loss. To evaluate where I stand. I have to come to terms with it. I know that. I just, in terms of the loss of my sister, to come to terms with the fact that, am I going to go to my grave holding a grudge against a dead person?
Are you going to be able to forgive yourself?
I hope in time I can forgive myself. Because to say that I need to forgive myself, to know that in my sister's mind she feels that it's silly for her siblings to be upset with her over this, and that enough time has gone by, it should have all just all be gone away by now. I just wanted to be able to tell her one last time I love her. And I need to come to terms with that. If you hold a grudge against somebody, it is a way to protect yourself not to be hurt. It makes you aware of circumstances that you're not going to make that mistake again.
If there was someone that was holding a grudge or possibly going to hold a grudge against someone, what would you say now that you've experienced the good, bad, and the ugly from a grudge? What advice would you give to somebody?
The advice I would give to someone is, if you find yourself holding a grudge against someone, and it is a particular person that you do care to have a relationship with, and they're not willing to admit fault, or they're not willing to come to you and apologize for hurting your feelings, or a misdeed, or breaking their trust with you, that you go to them and let them know that you want to talk and that you need to iron out the problem. And if they say that there is no problem, then I would let them ask them politely, do you want a relationship with me? Do you want our friendship to exist? Do you want our brother-sister relationship to be around? I need to talk to you. And to see if you can iron out and get it resolved. If having a relationship with them is important to you. If it's not, if it's some Tom, Dick, or Harry on the street, the grocery store clerk you want to hold a grudge against and you don't really care, then by all means, hold your grudge against that type of person. But if it's someone you want a relationship with, I recommend trying to work it out.
So my wife and I re-listened to that recording of about 4 or 5 years ago. And of course we talked about it, and we decided we were going to sit down and record some of our thoughts, thinking back to what it was like back then. And of course thinking about how she has evolved since those days.
So we just got done listening to the old recording where you were talking about your sister.
Okay. It was, what, almost 5 years ago we did that.
Yeah, it was like four and a half.
Yeah. I told you it was kind of heartbreaking to listen to again because it brought back a bunch of old feelings of what was going on at the time and that whole ordeal over the last years prior to her passing and up till now. It was fun to hear, just in a weird way, but...
What do you mean by fun?
Fun for me to see where I was at, to where I'm at now. So
why is that fun? Because it seemed heartbreaking when I listened to it.
It's heartbreaking because of the emotions and how I felt. I guess fun isn't the right word. More, I guess I should say interesting to see how much I've grown and where I'm at now.
So where are you at now?
Right now. To say I still hold a grudge against my sister, I think I'm in a better place to say I'm grudgeful. Maybe not as much, I've let it go. To say I could forgive her, if she were here and we could talk, I wouldn't be so upset. Like I said in there, she's someone I wanted to have a relationship with. And because of her actions and not being able to say sorry or apologize and me not trying to force the issue so much with her, she was trying just to forget it, thinking everything was okay. I should have been more determined to correct what was going to happen because she wasn't going to be willing to fix anything. And to say to carry a grudge on a dead person, I'm not that type of person to do so. I actually, to help my grieving process, I think I'm the only person out of my whole family that actually sought counseling to help me put my feelings and thoughts in order, to learn how to let it go, pretty much, to move on, and not let it affect my relationships with my family that I have right now that are, you know, part of my everyday life. It's funny to say, to have a counselor tell you that it's okay to let it go, it's okay to be me, and I don't need to go down the path that everyone else was going down, and it's okay for me to grieve, and it's okay for me to be mad at her. It was kind of a relief to hear.
So you think the counseling is what helped you?
That and the support from you helped a lot. I didn't like where I was headed. I wanted to be a better person than where I was at. And to walk around carrying that grudge, that hatefulness inside towards my sister that I mean, it's not so crazy to say I could sit and yell at her because she's dead. But it's kind of a one-sided conversation. And it kind of started to consume my life. And then there's having these torn feelings between that I love her, but I'm mad at her. And it wasn't going to be resolved. And the counseling helped me put my grief in perspective. And I essentially started focusing on the good things that we had. And the good times that we had. Most of them were all, I mean, years before all the grudged match holding started. And that's important. And those are the stories and things that I share with my family, my kids. But also, I try to point out that, you know, the mistake that I made is that I held a grudge against her. And I didn't really push the issue to resolve it, which I should have.
I'm sure you've thought about this. If she were still alive, how would you have handled it? Would you still be holding the grudge? Do you think you'd be able to approach her? What do you think?
If we could go back to where it was, to the place I'm at now, I honestly would have addressed the issue with her. And I'm not the type of person to do a correspondence through email or a correspondence through text messaging. I would have done it either through a phone call or tried to meet up with her one-on-one to resolve the issue as soon as possible. I wouldn't have let 4 years go by, and more, I guess. You could say nine now. But it's something I would have addressed straight up front. I've actually taken that approach more lately because I've had issues that have arisen that I have been confronting them more head-on, given about a week maybe, sometimes 24 hours, and I've been trying to let those know that have hurt my feelings or offended me that I didn't appreciate it, and try not to hold grudges against people.
So you're kind of an anti-grudge holding person?
Possibly anti-grudge holding. I want to be able to learn from the mistake I made. I don't want to carry on that feeling forever. I think a person needs to carry on a little bit of hurt. It makes you a little bit stronger, a little bit wiser not to make those mistakes again. And honestly, if you need to point out to someone that your feelings are hurt, it actually made me feel better to point that out. You hurt my feelings. Now, whether or not they're going to listen, that's a whole nother line. But for me, it's helping me resolve carrying a grudge for somebody.
Well, see, for me, you know, you talking about explaining to the offender, the person that hurt your feelings, telling them that, hey, you hurt my feelings, if they dismiss that, or even if they unintentionally ridicule you or mock you, that, to me, only compounds the problem. That only makes it worse.
It can make it worse, but ultimately, it is their decision. If they don't want to resolve it, because you're trying to talk to them, you're trying to, hey, you hurt my feelings, this is what you did, this is why I'm hurt, and if they choose not to listen or they want to mock me or make fun of me and not resolve it, then that proves to me that they don't think their actions were offensive, and they don't feel that our relationship is important enough to maintain to understand my perspective or where I'm coming from.
Well, I don't know if they interpret it that way, but I think I see what you're saying. But I think they're coming from a different place. I'm picturing one of your other sisters that we're kind of at odds with right now. You know, we've discussed whether we should approach and get things worked out or not, and I think we're at an impasse, right?
We are at an impasse because of their personalities, and it's one of those things when people talk about that you're just, what is one of those analogies? You just don't call the kettle black or kicking a hornet's nest. As much as you want to talk round and round with them, it's just not going to get anywhere because they feel that they're right and validated in the place that they're at. And no matter what you say to them, I'm going to be wrong.
Well, that's what I mean by when you come up against a person like that, where you can say, hey, you hurt my feelings, I'd like to get this resolved, and they're not going to listen to you, and they're not going to make amends, they're not going to lift a finger to try to make things right. So, you know, a lot of ways, what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position, putting your neck out there for them to cut your head off.
Yeah. But at the same time, at least I took the approach to say, hey, don't appreciate what you did, which we've tried. It's not working. I'd like you to see my perspective. That didn't work. And ultimately, I've walked away realizing that they've just defined our relationship. And it's at a limited basis right now. Until, A, you're willing to listen and hear me out. B, your circumstance is going to change in your life that you're going to realize, oh, guess what? I recall the circumstance that I had, this happened, and I wasn't very sympathetic or empathetic to the person, and I hurt them. Then maybe you're going to realize it, and then you'll be willing to reach out to me to say maybe you're sorry. But at least I tried, and you may not have been willing to listen to me and hear me out because you felt you were validated to be in the right. I put my neck out. You hurt my feelings again. Guess what? I tried, and now our relationship stands on different grounds. And that's kind of how I see it. At least I tried.
Yeah. Well, going back to your older sister, when you were listening to it, do you feel like you've matured? Do you feel like you've grown?
Yeah, I have. And partly because of a conversation I had with my father a few weeks ago, he mentioned that we needed to have some family counseling meeting because the irony of this is that neither of my parents has sought any form of counseling, but feels that the remaining siblings need to have a family counseling to get over the grief and the bridge burning that our older sister gave to all of us.
And a lot of the bitterness in the family.
Yes. And I actually was able to look right in my dad's eyes and say, I've moved on past that. You don't think that I have. I really have. I'm at a different place. My feelings towards my older sister are different. I may never understand why she did what she did. And you chose to forgive her and be there for her. And that was your choice. As much as I wanted to talk to her at that time, but right now in my life, I have moved forward. I don't have any animosity or grudge towards her. And it almost took my dad by surprise. He didn't realize that I had taken steps to define my relationship, to give myself peace.
Well, he did seem somewhat surprised that you'd even seen a therapist.
Yeah, he really didn't think that I'd actually go through with it. And like I said, how would you count? There's 9 people in my family. One has passed on, so that's a total of 6 siblings, including myself, and I was the only one that actually sought therapy. All of them are still at a place where they can't function when it comes to talking about her. And even my parents, it's ironic. Well, your parents
talk about her, but she's kind of become this emotional crutch.
Yeah, every conversation our family has to be about her. And I think it's their way of they don't want to forget her. And they need to have some tangible way to hang on.
They've kind of glorified her.
Oh, yeah. They've got shrines in her house, home towards her, like I think in every room. So, one thing, though, when I was listening back to the recording in there, I didn't realize how much of a toll grudge holding puts on a person. That it actually weighs you down quite a bit because you need to make sure that every thought and everything you do in your life is not going to allow that person into your thought. And when that person creeps into your thought, whether it's because someone mentions that person or you stroll across them on social media or maybe that person's name is mentioned, but not about them directly. My friend has a dog with my sister's name. Ironically, how funny that is. I didn't realize that every time her name was mentioned, no matter what it was in, a song, a pet, another person, it actually, it made me sick. I didn't even want to hear her name brought up because that's how much of a grudge I had towards her. And then moving forward and seeking help and stuff and be able to put that aside to help smooth over those feelings, it's allowed me to feel love and appreciation for her. Not to say that I still occasionally get upset and sad, because more or less is the time that went by that I didn't get to spend or be a part of her life versus being upset of the choices she made.
Jeannie Safer wrote a book called Forgiving and Not Forgiving: Why Sometimes It's Better Not to Forgive. In this book, she makes a strong case saying that forgiveness isn't all that it's cracked up to be, and that sometimes it's just fine to not forgive, but rather to simply re-engage with the process of understanding why things happened the way they did.
Forgiveness is a religious concept, and what about a person who doesn't have religious belief or who has questions? When the theologian mentioned that you should first start by letting go of anger, I think already that's saying that there's something that you can do by will, which if you believe in psychology, depth psychology, that comes later. The first thing to do is to try to understand what happened, how you feel, to try to understand what was going on with the other person. Then, to me, the anger abates naturally. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to engineer forgiveness. The only thing that you can consciously, intentionally do, and that I recommend, is that you re-engage with the process of what happened, try to understand how you feel, how the other person felt, what was going on, and wherever that leads you is going to be a healthy place. You will not be stuck in hatred and vengeance. Righteous anger doesn't kill anybody. It doesn't give you heart disease.
So in the end, after all the discussions and processing all of this, forgiveness, apologies, grudges, I firmly feel that in relation to grudges, I feel that holding a grudge can most certainly be justifiable under certain circumstances, of course. I also think that someone who is holding a grudge, or even refusing to forgive, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad, or that they're even psychologically or emotionally unhealthy. Many, primarily myself, are just fine when we create strong or even permanent boundaries around those that have hurt us. This is just us trying to take care of ourselves. This is not us drinking poison and then hoping that the offender will eventually die, or that we're giving the offender free rent space in our head. Although I do like some of those slogans or cliches. Some of us have just evicted them and refuse to ever let them back in. Does that fall under the definition of holding a grudge? Probably, or even possibly, but I will only speak for myself here. I really do feel like I'm healthier and happier when I evict someone who has offended me out of my life. Especially when they show no remorse and no willingness to make things better, or to at least show the corrective behavior needed. And when I evict that offender, I evict them for good. It's not a front. I guess, in the end, what I ultimately want is less harsher judgment from everyone, on all sides. And that starts with me.
Hi, this is Lauren from Concord, North Carolina, and I love to tune out the responsibilities and ridiculous amount of noise my four boys create by listening to the infants. You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com, And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. Anyone for the closing prayer?
And please consider donating to us for as little as $1 an episode through Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/infants. Thanks for listening. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.